proflowradio.com.
Shockwavesoundsflowradio.com. Internet Inferno. On demand and live pro in audio.
You know,
hit it with fofo flow.
The internet's audible hotspot.
Yeah.
You are now tuned into the Pro Flow for Show, internationally syndicated, act like you know, with your host, Mr. Mad Max. Pro Flow for Show, www.maxi.com.
Pro Flow for Show, wireless phone interview feature presentation.
Pro Flow for Show, Pro Flow for Show, Pro Flow for Show.
Check this out.
Hello, Malia McKinney.
Hey, Neil, what's going on?
Hey, Michael, how are you, darling?
I'm good. Thanks again. I'm glad you're joining today. So we can discuss what's been going on in your life. You know, we haven't talked as much as we used to in a while, but it's good to get a chance to actually sit down and say hey.
Yeah. Well, it's always a pleasure talking with you, Mike. For sure.
Likewise, so you got a lot of things going on still. You've been very busy. You know, what I want to do is, you know, kind of like just get the audience to recognize who you are again. So if you can introduce yourself and the best place that they can find you on the internet.
Okay, my name is Malia Taylor McKinney. I'm a Hall of Fame songwriter, recently awarded the Pioneer Award in 2014. You can find me just by Googling my name on all my sites, on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and all the other social sites under Malia McKinney.
All right, Ms. McKinney. So you've been, you've got a large background of experience in education as well as, social education, not just like academic education, but social education, spiritual education, and just the idea of being conscious about who you are. So when I met you, you were beginning to develop conscious music entertainment. Can you give the audience an idea of what that stands for and symbolizes?
Yeah, conscious music entertainment was developed and founded in 2011. It was kind of an experiment in hopes of building it up and bringing awareness to the lyric form that's being used in entertainment today, being that children learn by what they see and hear. It's been like 7 years, going on 7 years, that we've had the company, and we see that, you know, in some secular divisions, there are, you know, still some issues with the language and the entertainment that the children are looking at. But we're in for a big change with the conscious perspective, especially in music. 2018, you're going to hear more positive music. You know, the songwriter, I'm in the core of everything, and it just seems like everybody's, you know, trying to get it a little more positive in their lyric form. I think we're ready to change. You know, you can only hear the same old thing for a period of time, and then a new season, you know, pushes their way through, and we've been waiting for that to happen for about 7 years.
Totally. Go ahead.
There's just so many great songs out now that's coming out that's really positive, and it's making a difference. You know, I'm even starting to see now, you know, films and games and so forth, people who represent those organizations and resources are saying, you know, this is not good for your kids. I mean, there's the PSA at the end that says, you know, if your child is under 18 years old, this may not be the product for your child. You know, please take responsibility on what your children are learning. And I'm starting to see that. And it's been 7 years, Mike. We pushed and we pushed and we pushed, and now we're starting to see just a little morsel of that. So we have a bright perspective future coming in positivity. You know, I think it's time. I think the season's here. I know with my contributions that I'm writing right now, the whole album is just positive. Positive. And for those folks that haven't heard the Carrie Underwood song, Champions, you best go listen to it, because it is positive. That's what it's about.
Is right?
Absolutely. That's the boy.
He's definitely a hot topic right now, and he's a very, very talented individual. Mm-hmm. I definitely been a fan of him for a while. And obviously, I'm about to get more familiar with Carrie Underwood as well. So just to be in the presence of somebody helping out with that kind of situation, you know, your impact is going to go international. So it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you can bring artists in like Ludacris, you know, he has a huge influence on the R&B and hip hop world, you know. And when you plant a seed like we planted on that song, it resonates with them, and then being able to say, hey, you know, this is what you're putting out there for kids to emulate, you know, and that's something that you're responsible for, because you're teaching them. You're their teacher right now. And the response that you get when you're talking to people of that caliber that do what they do and don't really think about what they're doing in that perspective is very powerful.
Very powerful. People, it's like Michael Jordan and Nikes, you know, if Ludacris is pushing consciousness, then it becomes a brand itself, you know, it becomes cool.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes like a trend, you know, so with social media,
it sure does.
It won't be hard to accomplish that.
That's right.
So what I want to do is, you know, the whole idea of conscious, everybody knows what it is to be conscious, to be alert, to be awake, but it's more of a general kind of term to me. So when you were creating this idea, What was some of the personal things that drove you to get this started, or at least not be afraid to challenge the way of the world at the time?
It's a combination of responsibility, spirituality, and doing something in the industry that makes a difference. Anytime you're blessed in a certain way, it manifests within your spirit that you need to give back in that particular field. So for me, it was music, and really identifying that, you know, as what they call me, still call me today, the wordsmith, it has power. And being the spiritual person that I am, I know that the Bible speaks that your tongue is like a double-edged sword. You either speak life or you speak death. So when those two resonated with each other, it was so powerful for me, and it empowered me to make a change that, you know, I can no longer just write music for just anybody. I have to focus on those things that have a storyline that resonates with someone, but it has to be positive. And so for the last almost 10 years now, that's been my quest.
Yes, ma'am. You've recruited so many different individuals to help out with this particular situation. And of course, you know, just in life in general and with music, you know, when you're building things and dealing with people, it doesn't always turn out the way you expect it to. But you
still don't always turn. That's right. You have to push. You know, there's a grind to anything that you do that's worthwhile, Mike. And you've been on board for just as long as the company is established, you know. And it's been an on and off thing from time to time, because like in anything, you know, we have our seasons, and there's artists that you try to work with that's just not ready. And then you have to revamp what you did. Just like in most fields that you work in, you know, all you can do is leave, try and give opportunity. And, you know, as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do, then, you know, you keep hammering at it. And then you just can't be responsible for the other people, you know, what they do and how much effort they put into it. You know, all you can do is just give opportunity. But the thing about that is, you know, it teaches you to find yourself, reevaluate yourself. And then, you know, you have to go the extra mile to find out what your heart truly is. And sometimes just taking that time to figure it out for me has been worthy. And so the period of change and reestablishing the artist, you know, you kind of go back to square one and start working the developments with these artists and so forth. But I think that we've got a good one this time around. We've got a great artist. I mean, he's got a great love for the Lord, which is his foundation. I'm going to give a shout out to Frida Thomas, who is his mother. She's instilled in him at such a young age so many moral and valuable lessons and spiritual lessons in life. That's her son, Stephen Thomas. You know, he's a universal artist. You had him on your show. He's doing great things. He's moving up. He's just so balanced. And it's just great working with a young person that really, you know, is past all the craziness in life. Because usually that's the age where, you know, you're just identifying with who you are. You want to hang with your friends and you want to be in the middle of, you know, the party sector and all that. But, you know, I have to tell you, you know, from what I know of Stephen, he's well balanced. His mom keeps him that way. They both have such an incredible respect and love for one another. And she stands up and she keeps him straight. And he loves and respects her for that. And to be his age, he's so mature. You know, he knows what he wants. He knows where to get it. And he's not afraid to go get it. And that's pretty much how you have to be, especially in the music industry, because it's so unpredictable.
Very much so. When I had my opportunity to talk with him, he had definitely had a spirit about him that was very positive. I wasn't feeling good, but he made me feel good. So it was a cool experience. And he's got some really good music, and he's got you behind him, so he really can't go wrong. And, of course,
thank
they can always
Mike.
Go to the website to check that out. You're welcome, Mia. You know you deserve it. All right, so let's see. So we're going to talk more about the way you develop artists later on in the interview, but I wanted to get to a source that I really haven't talked to you about in a while. Well, actually, I haven't really had a chance to really talk to you about it much at all, and it's the publication that you put out recently. Can you give the audience the title of the book, and you know, if you want to go ahead and give a brief synopsis about it, that'd be great.
Oh, wow. This book is called The Resurrection of Hope Through Jesus Christ. It's one of a series. I have three books out, and it's a funny thing. When I was battling my cancer in 2012, all the way to 2014 when I did this stem cell, and then it took me almost 2 years to really heal from that, I had such a supernatural experience with my Savior that just really embedded in me such a strong hope, faith, love, and grace, and all those things came together. And when you're really facing death and you have people around you saying that, you know, take care of your business because you don't have long to be around, and you have doctors, you know, trying to label you as a statistic, it's really hard
right.
to battle in the flesh these things. But there was this supernatural peace that came over me, you know, and I just knew. And people who knew me knew I just knew, because I functioned better than I function on a normal basis in a lot of ways. You know, there was a lot of tiredness and stuff, but, you know, so the disease that I had was an environmental one that attacked my throat and my breathing. I shouldn't even be able to talk. He was talking about, you know, getting a voice box, all that. I don't have none of that. The Lord Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. He's just amazing. And he just loved me so much. He just loved me all the way through all of that. And he talked to me. And he told me things to write down in a journal. And as I put it together, you know, my spirit told me this is going to be a book. And I want people to hear how you can manifest those things of your heart by putting these resources together. And it's just about love, faith, hope, charity. There's a order and obedience to it. And, you know, just love the Lord. Just love the Lord, create a relationship with him, and just trust him. And if you can do that, there is nothing on this earth that you can't have. And I am just a living testimony to that. And so the book is basically a testimony of my experience for those years that I walked through all of that in comparison to the things that I should have experienced during that that challenging time in my life. And now in reflection, Mike, and you knew me back then. You know, I was still positive. I was still, you know, trying to function the best I could normally,
yeah,
and very spiritual. I mean, it was just an amazing experience. You know, I truly felt like I was in just a bubble of His grace and love and mercy. And I had a couple of experiences with that when I first had heard that I had cancer. I really didn't even know what it was. My son was with me in emergency after 8 weeks of going back and forth to doctors telling me I had strep throat. One evening when I came in, I just basically collapsed in my son's arms. He picked me up, put me in the car, took me to emergency. After being there for quite a while doing all these tests, they came back and told me I had lymphoma stage 4. I didn't even know what lymphoma was. I'm like, what is that? And they're telling me, you know, it's the cancer. And my son was just like pale white. He just livid. He just looked at me like, what? You know, and then they was telling me there wasn't a whole lot they could do. They could just refer me to a oncologist and then a throat specialist, an ear, nose, throat specialist who could possibly do some surgery and everything. And at first, I was just kind of numb. And then when I got by myself, Mike, I said, you know, Lord, You designed me. You know every cell in my body. You know every hair on my head. You know my heart and my spirit. You know the things that You put before me. You know, what is it that I need to do? And just, you know, do as You always said. You know, carry me through the sand. You just carry me through the sand. Have Your way, but show me that this is truly You that I'm dealing with. And when I went into the hospital, this is so mind-blowing. When I went into the hospital, I was a little nervous, you know, and on the wall was the cross, you know, the crucifix. And I'm just staring at it, and I'm just talking to Him like He's a person before me, having this conversation. I said, you know what, Lord, You said we could come choose anything. You know, I'm a little angry at You right now because I really don't want to go through this, but You know what You're doing, and I'm trusting in You, you know. I'm just trusting in You, you know, but You've got to show me some signs because I'm really wired and alert, and I need to know that You're with me. You promised to always be here. Now I need to see that for myself. When they sent up the nose and throat specialist, he looked just like the epitome of one of those pictures that you see that your top is Jesus Christ. I'm talking that nice looking man with the beard and the long brown hair and the Mediterranean eyes. Well, he walked in my room. It was so bizarre, and I was just so dumbfounded. And he put his hand on my shoulder and patted me. And with a very soft voice, he says, Malia, you know you're going to be fine, right? And I'm just kind of, I was speechless. I didn't know what to say because I was just so blown away on how close he looked to that picture that was around me all my life growing up, you know.
Right.
And I even told him he was from Jerusalem, and it was just amazing. I just couldn't take my eyes off of his eyes. They were unusually bluish green and just so peaceful. And he just told me, he said, you know, you are going to be all right. And he said, I just came to let you know I got you. And he said it just like that, Mike. I just want you to know I got you. And I got goose pimples all the way down my spine. And I looked over across the bed at my sister. And I said, did you just see what I saw? And she says, yes, I did. They came and they got me. I'm on the gurney. They're taking me around to the operating room. And in my mind, you know, in my spirit, I'm saying, you know, Lord, that was too weird. I said, but I need one more sign. I just need one more sign so I can just let go. We all do this. And so I'm going around the corner and I look up and there's a picture. And it's a picture of an operating room. And there's all these doctors and nurses around this patient. And through the spirit of this doctor was the hands of the Lord. And when you looked up in the doctor's face, you saw the face of Jesus, which was the face that I seen in this doctor. And then I was really like, oh my God, I don't even believe this. I got to be dreaming on drugs, one of the two. They took me in, and I don't remember anything. But when I came out, I was instructed not to even talk. And the doctor was trying to explain to me that at this point it was a different doctor. I had not seen that this original doctor that had come see me was a different doctor, and he was instructing me, you just can't speak. It's going to be 3 to 6 weeks before you can really use your voice. You need to let that heal. We took a lot of that cancer out of your throat. But the good news is you're not going to have a box. We were able to get down in there, you know. And then they proceeded to let me know that, you know, I was blessed that somebody up there liked me. And that, and when he was finished, he said, we're going to get you a tablet and a pen so that you can write down questions or if you need anything. And I just looked up at him, and something just came over. And I'm looking at him, and I said, but can I have a drink of water? And it was just so clear. And he looked at me, and he said, did you say something? And I said, yeah, I asked for some water, please. And he said, you're not supposed to be talking. I said, oh, I'm sorry. He says, no. He says, I don't know how you're talking. And I'm just laying there physically, medically. It's like, how are you talking? And I said, I'm opening my mouth and saying, what? And everybody started laughing. And they gave me some ice, and, you know, I was able to, you know, calm that fire in my throat from where they were, you know, down in my throat, cutting all that cancer out of me. But it was just an amazing experience. I shouldn't have been able to talk or anything like that, not whatsoever. And then another time during that experience, the chemo is toxic. For anybody that knows cancer, it's toxic. And when it's going in your blood, it not only kills your blood cells, but you have to understand your heart, your kidneys, your lungs, organs depends on your blood. And it's killing all these cells in your blood, so you get real weak. And you're literally, you know, fighting for your life. Because there is a poison in your bloodstream pumping through your organs. So, you know, you're fighting. It's almost like drinking a gallon of bleach. And if you can imagine that, but 10 times worse, because chemo is lethal. Yeah. There's like 6 to 8 different chemicals that they put in that. And it's so toxic that they have to put on gloves and gowns and masks and hats and everything, and the big yellow strips that says, caution, do not enter toxic.
It's amazing how they take that to be a solution to an issue. That's just amazing.
Exactly. It's exactly like that. So I went through tons of that stuff, and for like 4 years of that, off and on, like every 2 weeks, battling for my life. And then finally they said, you know, we've done all that we can do. We've got the cancer pretty much under control. Now the only thing left to do is a stem cell transplant, but the one that you need is an experiment. And so I had to go through like 6 weeks of counseling, explaining, and basically sign my life away, you know.
So the stem cell, was that like a transplant to where they put it inside of you to where it made your cells stronger?
It's horrific. You basically lay in the bed and they take and drain your blood out of you. Literally, they take you down. You're like 2 points from death, and they're draining blood out of you, and they strip it. And there's 3 parts to your blood, and they want the stem cells, and they need cells. And I had to do that like 4 different times in order for them to get the stem cells they needed. Then they take and they treat it with a stronger chemical with the chemo. They have to freeze it for 4 to 6 weeks, and then they thaw it out, and then the actual transplant is when they're pumping it back into your system after much treatment and chemo. You know, you got to continue to do the chemo to keep your cancer under control. And then they pumped that back in you, and that was the experiment. They didn't know if I was going to reject it, because when you take out the stem cell, adding all those additives and medications and things, it goes directly into your heart, because that's where it has to go first. They didn't know if I was going to survive it. So being that I'm already almost dead, right, having to pump that stuff in you, and then not knowing if you're going to have a allergic reaction or how you're going to respond.
Wow.
Very, very traumatic, but the grace of God was with me. people, and even today, you know, I go every 6 months for checkups to just make sure I'm still under control. They still cannot believe just the walk that I walked and the blessing and mercy that I got just with my faith. And I was that one always trying to pull myself up just one degree higher than I really felt and cheering people on. But I have to say, you know, on a sad note, that during my time at the hospital, you know, in that unit, I watched people with less than the cancer that I had. I'm talking stage one and two, not make it. And that's right there just kind of gave me just the insight on how great the power of God is, and that we all have a purpose. And we're not checking out of here until the Lord's ready for us. And that's the truth. So I didn't buy into all the talk and the chitter chatter about, you know, the time frame of life, you know. It's like, well, you got to get your matters of life in order because you're not going to make it. I didn't receive that. I fired 5 doctors before I found one that I could work with. So it was truly an incredible experience. But this book is full of just all kinds of testimony and experiences that I incurred while I was battling the cancer. And I'm just certainly grateful and just with a whole new perspective of life. Things are not as they are. People in a worldly sense see fine cars and houses and great spouses and tons of money. You know, everybody's perspective, it's not even about that. That doesn't even matter. It's the little tiny things that squeezing its way through your life, penetrating, you know, through your life, that are the most important things in the world. And when you face death, you come to realize that those are the things that we in humanity forget about or take for granted, you know. And so now, with a whole new perspective, I embrace those teeny-weeny little things that most people just seem to overlook and take for granted, you know. And it's important. It's important to tell the people in your life how much they mean and how much you love you, just how much you love them. It's real important to forgive those who come against you, you know, because in the afterlife, that's the first thing you must do. It's important to remember the important things in other people's life. It's important to always lift and encourage people. And, you know, I just experienced so many things. We're all vessels for the Lord. And when we really understand that we're not here for ourselves and what we can attain in the world, that we're here for God to do what He wants us to do, then all those other things seem to fall into place. And, you know, there's a testimony in there about that too. I mean, have you ever really tried to get something and just can't seem to get it and it's just too hard? And then on other things, you don't really think about it. You just kind of kick back and it just comes to you. That's the grace of God. And it's those perspective things that we overlook and don't see how God truly is working in our lives. But He really is. And we as a humanity really need to get grounded and fall into the obedience of the Lord, because, you know, we're His. We're His servants. And the sooner we can do it, the better our lives can be. Everything else is blessings, you know. And the funny thing is, like, I learned that there's a testing or a blessing in everything. Regardless of what you go through in life, you get to make a choice. God gives everybody free will. And you always come out either passing the test or learning the lesson. And if you learn the lesson, then, you know, that's your blessing. And if you get through the test, that's also a blessing. So either way, God is good. He's always giving you a lesson to learn and a blessing to back it up. But the book, everybody needs to go get it and, you know, reacquaint yourself with the faith, you know?
Yeah. So that's on pretty much the internet outlets, right?
It's everywhere. In stores everywhere and on all major outlets on the web.
Awesome.
That's Amazon, so, especially people are bouncing off of Amazon. They're loving it there because you get a freebie. You can go on the site and then you can really get a glimpse of it. I think they let you read like 2 or 3 pages.
That's amazing. I remember when you were going through some of the early stages of the throat issue, you had told me that your voice wasn't the same. And then you sang for me on the phone. And I'm like, well, for one, I didn't even know Mia had a beautiful voice like this. You know, it was just an interesting moment. And it kind of just goes with the whole idea of the signs that you were getting and, you know, the mercy that you received for the situation that you had. It was already there with you throughout that whole period. I'm sure it was excruciating, but you survived it. And I hate to sound cliche, but whatever don't kill you just makes you stronger.
Amen to that. Amen to that, Mike. That's a testimony for my next book.
So the next two books, one of them is not done for sure, right? But the other one done already?
Both of them are finished, actually. They're both been released recently. Yeah, all three of them, or you can get, you know, at any of the bookstore sites. And they followed that one, The Resurrection. Is just an amazing book. But then, you know, I was given 2 more books, and they're really, really good, especially if it's something you need to forgive. The Hope and Forgiveness is a book that's about the importance of forgiving and how to forgive, and then how to move forward. And it's powerful, and it may not seem important on the earth, but in the afterlife, it's the most important thing, is that you have to forgive in order for the Lord to forgive you. And we all want to be forgiven because we all fall short of the glory of God every day.
Yeah, that's what the blood is about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Definitely. So, of course, everybody needs to go check that out, including myself. You, throughout the years, I've watched you, even with myself, you've helped to develop me as just a business person, a person, and an artist as well. And you're continuing to do that. So you're like a total facilitator on every level. When it comes to John Murphy, can we talk about what you're facilitating with that situation right now?
Oh, absolutely. I love John. He's such an incredible person. Just so full of goodness and the love of the Lord, and got such a huge heart for humanity. Incredible person. He's an artist and musician. He has a band called Evolution. They do a tribute to Journey. I mean, his vocal is much like compared to Steve Perry. I mean, I think he sounds better, but people will listen to him and say, oh wow, you sing like Steve Perry. And but I got news for you. He sounds better, in my opinion, as someone that's been in the music industry for a while. And he's very modest and laid back and everything. But you can find him on YouTube. Just look up John Robert Murphy, and he'll pop out at you. He's all over the place with that. He recently, you know, sung the national anthem at a couple of games recently and everything. But we're getting ready to work on a project and kind of put our creatives together to battle the racism issue that we have been fighting for so long. And the song is called Can We Be Brothers, and we're hoping to incorporate some positive vocal in it with John, and right now it looks like with possibly Steve. We did have Elliot Sloan from Blessed Union of Soul on it, but then his schedule picked up and we were unable to, you know, get it together. And so now that it's a new year and we've pretty much got, you know, the structure of the song together, we want to revisit that and just get it out, because it's got such powerful lyrics in it, and the message is very profound. And the truth is, you know, we all need to stop with the silliness, you know, and start loving each other and loving each other with respect and coming together as unity, because, you know, that's what the Lord's all about, you know. And stop with the racism, regardless of where your color is or where you come from, your culture. We're all diverse, you know, and God, if people truly understood God and his vision we'd all stop it. You know, we'd be ashamed of ourselves because, you know, the Bible, it's just an amazing book. It's more than a book. It's a guide, and it's the Word, you know, and in Genesis, it tells you that the Word is God. And anybody that comes against that, well, you know, I don't want to be you on Judgment Day for sure, but he describes himself, you know, as bronze skin and hair of wool. And a lot of cultures have that, you know, living in desert areas, overseas, you know. And the truth is we all have a little bit of everything in us. I, for one, when I'm asked, you know, what is your nationality? I'm high 57, honey. I'm full of spice, you know, a little bit of everything. So I don't care, you know. I just know that I'm a child of God, and that's what makes me tick. I love all people. And we all need to be like that, Mike. It's time to be unified.
And the other thing is, and I didn't even think about it, Nicholas Chase, give him a shout out. He's a videographer out in California that does major campaigns. He wants to take a look at the We Are Hope song. We feel like we can market that and bring it up to a whole different dimension and do an incredible, lively video on that as well.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea. That song is very powerful, and the right visual can really just set it off.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the feel on that. You know, one song of the year, 2014. And when our late sister, Sheila Ray Charles, recorded it. And she did such an incredible job on it. But now...
Yeah, she got a beautiful voice.
Yeah, and now we embrace the memory of her involvement with that project. You know, we lost her in June with breast cancer, and so it's hard not to remember just the whole life and the whole message that she brought to the song. So,
and it's been I didn't even know that.
Yeah, she passed on with breast cancer in June.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So, you know, it's still a little tender in your heart because these are people that you work with and you love. In spite of it all, you love, you know. And it, for me, resonating with the cancer thing, Mike, it's really profound. You know, I'm still here, and people never know.
Right.
We'll never.
I can't imagine he'd be aside. Oh man, there's a lot going on in life these days. That's for sure. The older you get, the more you see.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Mike.
Well, you know, we talk a lot about the book series that you have, three book series starting off with Resurrection of Hope. We talk about John Murphy and Stephen Thomas, collaborations, as well as just your artist development and facilitation of the art in general. We talked about Carrie and the opportunity to promote the Champion song with Ludacris, as well as your past work with her, and just looking forward to new things. And we've also talked about, well, we haven't talked about shout outs. So what's going on with people that you'd like to thank or mention?
I definitely want to shout out to you, Mike. You are my heart, man. You just don't know. I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. You just make
I appreciate it.
You just make my world. I mean, you're just an amazing individual and a heart that's just so massive. And how can you not just respect and love someone like that? You know,
I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. But people really don't know that we have a full blown relationship. So, you know, I'm just privileged to be taken in, and there's no more rain anymore. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, you're always loved and respected and part of my family and definitely part of my heart. Big shout out and much love to you. I want to shout out to Ty and Melissa, who have always been super friends and super supportive of conscious music. You know, Josie, Lenora, they're all grown up doing their thing, but they're always reaching back and seeing, you know, if there's anything that the conscious music needs. I really appreciate that. even to Skyler, who's overseas, you know, big shout out to my brother. Shout out to, you know, the Thomas family, Steve, his mom and the family there in West Virginia. That's really been super in supporting Stephen along the way as he prepares for a new level and a new journey with his music. Shout out to my family. The biggest shout out of all is the Lord. I just want to give him all the glory for everything that we're enduring today, with all the different blessings and all opportunities that he's constantly allowing us to take part in, Mike. And I think that's pretty much, you know, pretty much it.
It's awesome, Mia. I want to give a shout out to Conscious Music Entertainment. Conscious Music, Conscious America. It's been there's several different identities that Conscious Music has, but it's definitely influenced a lot of people's lives. It brought a lot of people together. It's helped teach people a lot of different things. It's empowered people. It's something that I have definitely benefited from in relation to just pursuing who I am as a person, not trying to change to be something else. So, you know, we appreciate your efforts. We appreciate everything you've been through to help create the situation that Conscious Music Entertainment represents and puts out there in the world. So, you know, without endeavors like this and how they branch out and touch different aspects of life and different people, then we'll be in trouble. So we want to see Conscious Music last forever, even beyond us.
Absolutely. I hope that, you know, it will continue as a strong foundation for humanity, that it's a place where they can always go back to find hope.
I think it's really easy. We just have to continue to speak for it. You know, we don't want it to go quiet because nobody's talking about it. You know, it's a lot of work to be done, but music is very strong and far reaching to where, you know, one song, two songs, three songs, a couple people getting together, you know, interviews, all this stuff makes a difference, and it's going to continue to. So we pretty much covered everything. Did you want to speak about anything else?
I think we pretty much covered everything. I hope I got it all.
Oh, you do. You always do. You're pretty thorough. Malia McKinney, M-I-L-L-I-E-A, correct?
Correct.
Hall of Fame songwriter. And what area do you represent? I know you're down in Kentucky area, right?
I work out of Kentucky and Nashville now.
Nashville, yeah, okay. I just want to make sure everybody knows. So when you see her on the internet, make sure you go say what's up to Mia. Find out how you can help the whole movement of Conscious Music. If you need some guidance, hit her up. See, get you straight in 2 days.
Absolutely, Mike. Always welcome newcomers and those that want to comment. I mean, without you guys, we can't do what we do, you know. It's important to always give back and try to make a difference.
So good. So, you know, I got a bad attitude, but I couldn't stop smiling through the whole interview. You got a real deep, positive spirit about you. So I appreciate your time. I'm going to probably just smirk in the corner for the rest of the night, just thinking about how it's cool to be around good people. I appreciate your time tonight.
I appreciate you, Mike. Big hugs. Big kisses. I love this man.
I love those. I love those. Yeah.
Love it.
If you or anyone else you know would like to have their poetry, music featured on the Pro Flow for Show Show, hosted by Mr. Mad Max, check us out, www.maxheat.com. Don't be left out. Don't be the last to know. Spread the word.
Oh, they want
quiet
some.
On the set.
Oh, they want some.
Mad Max on the radio. Yo, pass me the microphone.
Come on. They want some.
Mr. Mad Max. Mr. Mad Max.
Stay tuned for your VIP Mad Max live on the Pro Flow Show Show. Only on
Millennium Music.
In the house.
Yeah, I used to be much Akron.